Welcome to the CEN Show, the voice of the world community. The website, communityeducationnetwork.com, the podcast, Conscious Corner, and this show are platforms to educate the masses from people of many different backgrounds to give the world a holistic educational source. On Monday, July 25th, 2 days ago, on Conscious Corner, with Professor Amin Ra and historian Joe Hembrick, had an excellent show with guests Anana Johari Harris Pierce. In my opinion, it's a must see, and you can view it at the on YouTube and also on the website communityeducationnetwork.com. I am your regular host Rasaki Mascani, and this evening we have a guest host, comedian impressionist Brother Straw. He has been on the show 3 times, and I'm glad to announce that he's joining our website and podcast team. Good evening, Brother Straw. Welcome to the club, and it's all yours.
Oh, good evening, Brother Rastaki, Mascani, and everybody else that's tuned in. Appreciate you guys tuning in to get some knowledge. Always have a variety of different topics, and today's topic is going to be Black music and how it's affecting our youth here in America. And our guest is going to be my brother, Kwabena Rasuli. He's been on this crusade about getting the negative lyrics off of Black radio for over 20 years now. He's based in Gary, Indiana, but he travels all over the country, hooking up with different conscious people in different cities on this quest to ban this music and get it censored. Well, not necessarily censored, get it banned off the radio because it is poisoning our youth and all of the Black communities around the country. This music is being pounded into the psyche of our youth over and over and over again. And it's causing all kind of problems in our community. I mean, you know, we have our other factors, but with music pounding in our heads, it's just going to make everything else, you know, just come out more and more negative. So that's what Brother Kwabena is doing here. And he's going to speak to us today about some of the things he's doing. And it's going to be open for questions and comments, anything anyone wants to add to this and for further understanding. And maybe we could bring it to our communities and bring him to our communities so he can do a presentation on this so we can spread this word. So without further ado, we'll bring on my brother, Kwabena Rasuli. What's up?
Hey, you got it, brother. How you feel, man?
I feel all right, man. How you feel?
I'm good. Out there in bright and beautiful LA, man. Wow.
As you see, huh? Because you over there in Gary, it's nighttime now. But it ain't cold right now.
No, it's not cold. It's kind of cool, but it's not cold. It's cold blooded though, what's happening in Gary and Chicago and Detroit and even in LA when it comes to our people. You know, we're in the midst of a violence epidemic. I was listening to the show recently that you all had dealing with the violence, and one of the, I can't recall the name of the brother, but he talked about sometimes he listens to this music, it even affects the way he drives. You know, when he listens to
Wow.
Yeah, the other day. And it's you know, music is everything. Music is culture. As we know, culture is everything. Culture is a people's way of life. We deal with our culture from how we get prepared for our unborn to how we bury our dead and everything in between. And so with music being such a large part of our culture, it's a shame that we don't have control over it, which is something that you guys talked about on that show, that we have to get control of over it again. We had some semblance of control over it at one time, but now we've lost that control. And those who have control of it now obviously hate us. You know, the evidence is there. If we listen to the music and the shows that they promote and push, which demean and degrade us all the time in this music. When it comes to rap music, hip hop, and you know, brother, you and I have been into this since it came out. And I know you are a hip hop head. You know, I am too. And yes. And but I cannot disagree with our recent ancestor, Dr. Frances Press Wilson, when she said that rap music has annihilated the self-respect of Black people. It has annihilated it. it was used to be a time we say, well, you know, the underground rappers, you know, they're not doing that and what have you. And now even the underground rappers, the rappers that, you know, aren't really mainstream, too many of them are giving us too much negativity. You can't even make a rhyme without dropping an N-bomb, without slipping in a B or disrespecting our people. And too many of them, not all of them. There are plenty of rappers and even some who are conscious, supposedly conscious, who still do this. And like when I'm gonna mention some names tonight, you know, we're not apologizing for that because they call us all kind of crazy names. But our brother Tilip Kweli from Black Star, and I haven't yet to, it's a shame, I haven't been able to get a hold of their latest album, but I went to a concert with him. I had to leave the concert disappointed because he kept dropping in bombs during the concert.
That's and not he, like him.
Oh, yeah, it's like him. You know, when I was still podcasting, sometimes he can hardly even say a couple sentences without dropping in bombs.
Wow.
And it's if it was some of the other rappers who lack the consciousness, it's still not cool, you know. But you know, you're a conscious brother. You know better. You know better. So when you have situations like that, it even makes it worse. So, but we're feeling right now, and with this, I guess the more publicity it's getting, but it's been getting a lot of pub lately. But with this uptick in violence, that one of the things that's being left out is the influence of the music and the lyrics in the music, especially the music that targets specifically African children and youth, tells us that we should handle our conflicts by shooting and killing each other. As a matter of fact, a lot of times in these songs, they won't even be a conflict. They'll be saying some pornographic rhyme, disrespecting women, or saying something silly, and something stupid, I should say, not silly, stupid. And then here comes this line, I'ma run up in your mama house, I'ma run up in your house with the shoddy, and your mama might be at home. Out of nowhere. This is the type of stuff that's being broadcast to the masses of our youth constantly on these killer radio stations and beyond, and in the midst of video games and on their portable listening devices. And like you said, they gave the intro, bro, it's back to back to back to back to back. It don't stop. When we look at the nearly 20,000 homicides that occurred in the United States last year, in this murder capital of the world, pretty much, this gun violence capital of the world. When we look at the nearly 20,000 of them, nearly 60% of those who were murdered are about 12, 13% of the population. We're talking about African people. When we look at the killings, this is in Chicago, in the area where I live, where there was like 830 something people murdered, homicide victims last year in 2021. The vast majority of it was 800 and something, 760, 70 of them were African. And again, this is what's happening constantly throughout the United States. The numbers, as a matter of fact, numbers of Chicago may be down a little bit so far this year. But I mean, who am I to say that to the 13-year-old who was shot the other day, or the twin sister who was shot in Maywood and killed the other day, or the 7-year-old that was killed? You know, so who am I to say that the numbers are down? The actual numbers are down, but the crime and the fratricide continue, and it's being promoted. So let's give an example real quick of what we're talking about. We work with the Clear the Airways Project. That's the name of our group. Clear the
Airways. Yeah, that's right. That's right. Mm-hmm.
And one of the things, and our main to remove from these radio stations songs with lyrics that demean and degrade our women, songs that drop in bombs on us, that promotes ignorant materialism, drug abuse, alcohol abuse, drug slinging, and for us to shoot and kill each other. We want that off the radio. We do that on nobody else's radio station like they do, just the ones, not just that target us, but target our children and our youth. And so we have to be aware of that, and we have to stop it. They've already proven that they're not going to stop it on their own. We have to make them stop it. And so as we deal with these issues of violence in the Black community, again, it's been too many people, or too many groups, or too many politicians, they're leaving out the fact that the music is promoting and pushing it. And we're not. We want to bring attention to that fact so we can have some action to put a stop to it.
All right.
And, okay.
Keep going.
I was going to say, in 2016, there was 980 people murdered in Chicago, 980 homicides in Chicago in 2016. Almost 12 people a day were being shot. And again, if there's 12 people a day being shot in Chicago, 11 of them look like us. And at the end of 2016, of course, we go on to the next year, January 2017. We were monitoring the No Heart station. They called iHeart everywhere else. It used to be Clear Channel. We were monitoring the station. In Chicago, they were doing their top nine. I think it was maybe their top nine at nine. And out of those top songs, five of them had in the statement, and they asked the question, if Young Metro don't trust you, does anybody who's on there, do you know the answer to that question, if Young Metro don't trust you?
He don't kill you. He don't shoot you.
I'm going to shoot you. That's what the answer to it is. When we present sometime, we ask that question, and we tell the youth, don't say nothing. And the adults look at us like we're a fool, but we don't know what the answer is. We tell the youth, okay, now y'all can say something. They say, I'm going to shoot you. If Young Metro don't trust you, I'm going to shoot you. That tagline was in five of the top songs that evening in late January on this European-owned radio station that targets African children. It was in a song called Bad and Bougie, a song that stayed number one for like about 4 months, a song which dealt with pretty much all the issues we just talked about. We wanted to get out. Bad and Bougie dealt with all that, slanging drugs, shooting you with his 30 caliber, you know, weapon with 30, the whole 30 caliber bullets, disrespecting women, effing on your BC, a thot thot. I'm cooking up crack in a crock pot. And by the way, it kicked off with, if Young Metro don't trust you, I'm going to shoot you. There was a song called, what was the song by the brother out of Detroit, Big Sean? He's flowing on this song. And that song was in the top 10 that day, was that evening. If Young Metro don't trust you, I'm going to shoot you's in there. Kanye West had a song, Who Don't Care About Black People. West had a song out called Reach Out My Hands to My Father. In this song, he used a tagline from Metro Boomin, which said, if Young Metro don't trust you, I'm going to shoot you. There was a song called X-B-I-T-C-H. That was in the top 10 from No Feature and 21 Savage. If Young Metro don't trust you, I'm going to shoot you. There was a song by Little Uzi Vert. We call him Lil Uzi Vert is his name. This is the dude that put that 20,000, 25,000 diamond right here where his third eye is, blocking his third eye until it fell out or somewhere. Somebody took it out about a year ago. So he had a song called You Was Right. I met this sister at the club. You told me I should have just took her in the bathroom and hit it, but I took her home. We got busy. Later on, I found out she was with five other dudes. I got mad. I took it out on her family. I effed her sister and made her vanish. I made her vanish. And by the way, if Young Metro don't trust you, I'm going to shoot you. Five songs in their top 10, less than a month after we finished the year with 780 homicides, most of them African. And this is what they're programming our children with on the radio, on this No Heart, I Heart European-owned radio station. This is what they're doing.
And the sad part of that is that song and songs like that would not only be played on the radio, they'll be played in a youngster's individual headphones and they'll walk right past their parents and they won't even monitor what they're listening to, or they might even hear it and be so tuned out that they don't even care, ain't even paying attention to it. So that's what we have to work on as well, raising the consciousness of our people. While you're fighting the battle with the radio stations, we also have to fight the battle within our own community. So we won't even appeal to that, because there's a lot of people out there who will look at what you're doing and say, oh man, we like this music. You just an old folk. You know, you don't like it, turn it off, but we like this music. So leave us alone. Let us enjoy what we enjoy. Everybody got a right to listen to what we want to listen to.
Yeah, and that's why we do these presentations and talk about this and share this information, because we need to be made aware. Most of the time, like you said, we have struggles with this. Very rarely does it come from the youth and the children, because they're being force-fed this madness. And a lot of them realize that, hey, this is crazy. You know, I can't believe they played out on the radio. I can't believe she said that. I get that all the time from them. And very, very seldom do we get pushback from the students when we go speak in the schools or the youth. You know, we get some good questions, what have you, but they understand, because they hear the lyrics. The lyrics are being forced onto them. I want to give another example. That one was from 5 years ago. I want to give one from the other day. You know, typically during these European holiday weekends or so-called holiday weekends, there's a lot of fratricide going on in these containment areas where Africans are struggling to survive the United States. And one of the worst ones is the 4th of July. And on the 4th of July weekend this year, on July 1st, which was a Friday, leading into that weekend, we had to ride to Detroit. And so we had to get up early in the morning. So as soon as we got up, we tuned into the radio station, the European-owned radio station, as soon as we got in the ride. And we heard that they were playing the song, debuting the song from Cardi B Gone, Lil Durk, who's a so-called drill rapper, and again, Kanye West. The song was called Hot, S-H-I-T. They were playing this song every hour at the top of the hour. And Cardi B says in one of the lines in the song that, just got me a new chopper, can't wait to use that bitch. And she goes on to say something else about she thought she had killed someone before. I guess it's going to be deja vu. I'll just kill him again or murder him again. But this is what she says in this song leading into the weekend. A weekend where it was a Chicago area. We had like 110 shot that weekend, including that 30, you know, shot in the white community just north of Chicago on the 4th of July. And these Africans here in Gary, where I live, there were 10 shot later on that evening, three of them dying. You know, a couple of mass shootings that happened. And so this is what they were playing leading until that weekend. And on that next day, tuned into the radio again, and they were playing the song, We Want Smoke. We need all y'all who are listening, if you haven't seen the video yet, most people probably have, because it's 135 plus million views of this song called We Want Smoke by Nardo Wick. He has on there with him, again, 21 Savage that we mentioned earlier, Lil Durk, and another Chicago rapper named G Herbo, they call him now. And this song, We Want Smoke, is straight up about killing ends. 14 ends gonna die if 13 B ends come at me. He gonna kill all 13 of them and an extra one, you know? So this stuff is so pervasive. This time last year, the number one song in the country for African children hip hop was a song called Time Today. In this song, Moneybagg Yo said that nobody say nothing, everybody get hit. He gonna shoot everybody. I spin your block twice, come back around, look like the world end. He gonna spin your block, shoot up the block twice and come back around, it's gonna look like the world end. Oh, we got you, but we were aiming for he or something like that, they said. Basically saying that I shot somebody that I wouldn't aim to shoot. And he's not apologizing for shooting him. He just mentioned that, hey, I shot somebody, but I was aiming for him. And the song goes on to be number one. And oh, by the way, She Ate the D Through the Underwear is another line in that song. That was number one in the country for African youth this time last summer, during a year, again, where we had nearly 20,000 homicides in the United States, in the United States of America. To quote our brother, like y'all did a couple weeks ago, Dr. Emira, quote our brother H-Rap Brown, America, violence is as American as cherry pie or apple pie, that he said back in the day, our political prisoner. And so this is what they do. And before that, the number one song was a song called Back in Blood, where the rapper says in the chorus, repeated several times, I ain't got nowhere to go. I done shot up everywhere they was. Everywhere they was. Everywhere they was is where our little girls are, is where our children are, where our elders are, is where the innocent, where the bystanders are. And the rapper says, I done shot up everywhere they was. That was the number one song Memorial Day weekend last year. And that's the same weekend, the artist who did that song, his name is Pooh Shiesty, where he shot somebody in a strip club in Florida, and he's now in jail still for that, and another shooting that he had that's captured on video. So he's in jail for that. That's a Memphis rapper. And also Lil Durk, we keep mentioning him. He's one of the hottest rappers out there. He's out of Chicago again. His older brother got shot in a strip club or outside of a strip club just south of Chicago. I think it was in Dalton or Markham or Harvey, one of them cities just south of Chicago. Another one of them small ghetto suburbs where Africans struggling. His brother was at a strip club that same Memorial Day weekend, and he gets shot and loses his life. But I ain't got nowhere to go because I done shot up everywhere they was the number one song in the country for young Africans. So, and we mentioned some of these artists. Now, I know we got a little more time because I know we want to have some dialogue back and forth. But we mentioned some of these artists, and we want to make sure that we understand that even though we mention these artists, we know they are just puppets. And a lot of them, a lot of times, they're high paid, well paid puppets, tokens for the system to put out there for us to emulate. And we know that if these artists decide, hey, I'm not going to do this no more, I'm going to go conscious, they're going to, like you said earlier, brother, they're going to censor them. We know if these brothers die or lose their life, like Pop Smoke or like so many others, all they're going to do, or like a Young Dolph or Pop Smoke, all they're going to do is just find somebody else to take their place. If they go to jail, like Bobby Smurda or others, they'll find somebody else to bring up some other rapper that they'll make a star.
Well, that's the thing I was going to bring up, because as you're mentioning these artists, I'm thinking about the fact that they even choose to make these type of records. And their excuse would be, if I try to be conscious, I won't sell. So it's all for money. Like you said, they stop, they'll find somebody else to do it because of money. So we have to work on also the materialistic attitude of our people. You do anything for money. If you sell your soul for money and do things unmoralistically for money, then that money that you get it is not going to solve your problems, because you still have a moral fiber that's lacking, and you'll spend that money being dysfunctional. So we have to get that message out as well, everybody.
Can I say anybody this? On
it? Please.
Can I say this? If money is the value, the human is devalued. That's all I wanted to say.
You know, and you know, the whole piece about the money, why it plays a major role in this. And again, that's what gets a lot of these artists in, you know, trying to get the money. A lot of them, you know, just really want the fame and all that too. But a lot of them, it's the money. But it goes beyond that. One of our comrades in the struggle is Speech Thomas from the Arrested Development. And Speech always tells a story about the first album, 3 days, 2 days in the life. Anyway, that bad album with Mr. Wendell, People Every Day.
Take
and,
me to another place. Take me to another land where the police just won't hurt me and there is no racism. Tennessee.
Yeah. So our brother tells us how that album made so much money for the record company. It's so like crazy. I think they may have got a Grammy or nominated, at least nominated for a Grammy for that album. The second album, to me, was just as good, if not better, with more positive messages than African Side Me, dealing with political prisoners, dealing with nutrition, had a beautiful song on there about abortion and about, you know, keeping the, about the, about, you know, childbirth, an excellent song on there. I just discovered really a couple of years ago. He said they did not promote that record, not one iota. They could have made money off that album, the record companies, but because the messages and the ideas and the thought-provoking content, they didn't want us to hear that.
Was Revolution on that album?
I'm trying to think if they put Revolution on that album or not. It may have been on that album. I know, you know, we know it's from the soundtrack from Malcolm X.
Yeah, I remember when I heard that and I heard Speech go, am I doing as much as I can for the struggle? Are you doing as much as you can for the struggle? As soon as I heard that, I said, oh, no, they ain't going to be playing that.
Yeah. So, but yeah, so he makes that point, though, about it's more, it goes beyond the money. It's about the messages also that they want us to hear, or that they want to force feed to us. So,
you know, I always, and anybody listening, you guys feel free to chime in. It's just a conversation between me and Brother Kwabena. So, but I always talk to you about, and you did this before, you know, it's hard to fight all of the record industry because, you know, it's millions listening and, you know, it's the money. So they're going to play the music because the sponsors and all that. So what I had told you before was get to the schools, get the youth, get the ones that don't like that music, because there are some that are young that don't gravitate to it, and meet with them once a week. Said, all right, go write down 10 or 15 songs this week, and we're going to break down the lyrics and then break down those lyrics. And then, so what do you think this kind of effect is going to have on someone that listens to this as opposed to that? Now, if we break it down, these lyrics, and then we turn them loose, like you said, we can't combat the radio meeting them once a week and they listen to the songs every day, 24/7 or whatever. That's fine. Don't try to combat them that way. Let them listen to it. Come back to us. Let's go over them together. Let's break down these lyrics. And then once we do that, then while they're out there listening to it, maybe they will back away from it, or maybe even start a conversation piece with some other youngsters, their age, their peer groups. What you guys think of that?
Well, Brother Pratt, what I want to do is I want to go around to the panel. And we have some new people here, and I want to get them to chime in if they would like.
Please.
So let's do that.
Okay.
And I was going to start off with your sister that came first, but for some reason she went out. So I'm going to go to Kelsey. Cassia or Kelsey?
I'm still here.
You Keisha? Said it right. You said it right the first time, Rigo, and then you messing up now.
Well, it's all good. Yeah. That's why we have corrections. So, Sister Kelsey, can you?
I chimed in first. I think I chimed in first.
It was her because I was talking to her first.
Okay.
It don't matter. Go ahead, sister.
I was talking to Keith.
So you have a question or a comment?
I have a comment. No question. I have a comment, though. As a mother of five, did my best to try to instill those same values in my children, reminding them, being present, a big load, a very heavy load. But us as parents can do the little bit we can do. We can do that. Some parents walk around saying they can't do anything. They can't control their kids. Nobody's asking you to control your children. Okay, but to talk to them, to keep the lines of communication open, to try to influence them to not encourage or listen to nor encourage the listening of this type of music. When you hear it, you know, change it. Even something as simple as, okay, you like the rhythm, you like the way it sounds, get the instrumental.
There you go.
Know, don't support it. And again, when parents say, I can't, I even try, it's just a little off the subject of music, but what came to me is recycling. And although we use that to help our earth, and things like that, the little bit you can do, if everybody does a little bit, it does go a long way. And my kids look at me crazy. Oh, recycle that plastic, recycle that can. But I keep it up. And because I keep it up, then all of a sudden they're doing it, you know. So they can diss me all they want to in the beginning, but I keep it up. And so as parents, we can set our example. We do have a cousin that'll say, oh, I'll listen to whatever they put out there. And my kids who I teach, or I'm a principal, I'll allow them to listen to whatever they put out there. But if we could just continue to be on her, which is kind of like what I'm doing, continue to be on her, you are influencing these individuals. Why not just listen to the instrumental and take the steps? Why not? Then all of a sudden, the next step might be to cut it out altogether, you know? So we just keep trying. We just keep trying, and you will reach somebody. You will reach people out there. Hey, go ahead.
I'm glad you brought that up about the instrumental, because I was thinking that too. And you could change the lyrics, like the song, it ain't no fun if the homies can't have none. You know what that's implying. I already listened to that instrumental, and it just came to me, and I switched it around to, it ain't no fun living life being dumb. It ain't no fun living life being dumb. So you can change the lyrics.
You know what else? When you said it's going away from the music, it's really not. When you think about hip hop and I mentioned Speech from Arrested Development, they made a beautiful song simply entitled Greener that's dealing with the environment. There's a video. Look up Greener from Arrested Development. Excellent video, beautiful song. If it got play on the radio, we believe the people will love it. The children will love it. And it's dealing with, just like what you said, recycling, greening the earth. It deals with the planet and what's happening on this planet. Greener is the name of the song. So, and music deals with all the aspects of our life. That's what we said earlier when we kicked it off. It's culture. It's everything. It deals with our work ethic. It deals with all of it. I remember the De La Soul Stakes is High video. They out there mowing the lawn and just talking about a bad song. So it's, yeah, so music is everything and everything. And so when we look at all this stuff that's going on in our community and in our all these struggles we have, you know, music plays a role in all of that. And it played a role back in the day.
we will repeat even songs we don't like. If we hear it over and over again, we're going to find ourselves saying it. I remember you told me our first sister that was on Dimini, when she stayed with you, you was playing something. Next thing you know, she's walking around reciting, "Squash all beef, give me relief. Don't let these arguments destroy us."
Yes.
That's KRS-One. Yes. Remember that?
Uh-huh.
If she's saying that when faced with a confrontation, that might click in instead of her going off and getting into a fuss with somebody.
Another example I hear a lot from my children when they're in other areas with other people and they play the old school. And the older people are like, "How do you know that song? How do you know that song?" You know, guess who's playing that? We are. The parents are playing old school. And the kids are picking it up. Whether or not you know they're picking it up. And they're listening to it. And they're liking it. And guess what? It's on their music list right now, that old school stuff. So you can do the same with the crap. Stop playing it. Don't encourage it. You know, and I promise you they pick it up. Just do your little bit.
Mm-hmm. My roommate's daughter talked about his daughters love Confunction because they play Confunction a lot. I remember when we had an Uncle G's ceremony in Louisiana. After we got finished, we went to the front house down in Louisiana and we were partying. The children were dancing and having a great time. And they were dancing off electricity and they started singing. I was like, "How do you know that song?"
Give me your plug, I'll be your electricity. You said Confunction. I thought you was talking about Electric Lady. You are the one.
Yeah, that was Stephon's children. But it's just an example of, you know, and they love this. Even another piece about the slow music, the slow jam. We ask the children sometime, or the youth, "Name me 5 slow jams that were out in the last couple of years." And they can never do it. They can never hardly ever give us 5 slow jams. But they start telling some old school slow jams they know that their parents listen to or that they enjoy. You know, I think
was all alone. I was staring at the phone. Oh man, that just resonates through me.
All right, hey, let's get the sister that came on first this evening.
She back?
Yeah, DERP. I keep forgetting her first name. I know she's Pratt.
Dimini,
I guess that's her. The one on mute.
Well, yeah, Dimini.
Okay, well, we're going to go to another person. We got Majadi.
Hey, Majadi.
Do you have a question or comment? I guess she's... Is it a lady?
Yeah, Majadi. Yes. Is that her?
Well, we're going to go to Carrie.
I thought I heard her.
Johnny Joe, we're going to get you later. But let's go to Carrie.
Hello, hi, everyone. Carrie. Greetings. How's everyone?
Fine.
What's glad up, sister?
Hey, Carrie.
Dimini says she's working. She put a little thing on it. So yeah, this technology thing is like really, really cool. So thank you for doing this, Quabana and the other people that are on it. Is that Amun-Ra that I know?
Yeah, Professor Amun.
Hi, do you remember me?
Help me.
Is this the same Amun-Ra that I know from years ago in LA? Are you a different Amun-Ra?
No, that's him.
Wow. He doesn't remember me, but I remember you. How are you?
Refresh his memory, right. Karen.
I can't because I don't remember. It might have been UCLA. I don't
Compton
know.
Compton College, Long Beach State.
At Compton and Long Beach, yeah. You knew my ex-husband. Ricky Pierre and all those guys, very.
Yeah, I remember Ricky Pierre.
And all them, a bunch of them. Yeah. They were real close with them.
Where are you now?
I'm actually in Vegas. I still practice in LA, but very part-time.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. Anyway, so this is really good. Thank you for doing this. I wish I would have gotten the invite a lot earlier so I could have invited, you know, more people to listen, and hopefully you'll do another one. But I actually did a talk yesterday on my product and being healthy and hormones, and I went off track to talk about the music. So Quabana and Kesey and just everybody in my family don't know that I don't talk about this to people because I do. I say stuff about the music, and why would you listen to that? Do you know what it's doing to your brain? So Derp said, I'm listening. She's listening in, though. She's at work. Okay, I don't know. Can you guys see that?
No, we couldn't see it.
We see it.
Yeah, we see it.
Oh,
okay. Okay, cool. Because this is a little different from the Zoom I use. But anyway, so I am just grateful that I have family members that are conscious, that care about our community. I think we need to spread this a lot more to people. And you guys should mute your phones when the other person's talking, because it's hard to, I can't focus. I can't focus when I hear other stuff. But this is something that we have to really continue to do and to talk about. And sometimes my friends don't want to hear it. And I'll tell them, oh, that song is inappropriate. We're grown. I don't want to hear it. And I get ridiculed sometimes, but they usually turn it off. I said, can we put something more pleasant? There's so much more really good music. Why do we have to listen to this ratchet killer music that really makes makes no sense to me why they have to use it when they have so much good music. But I guess when you're trying to control the minds of people and you're trying to get people to get rid of themselves and shoot their own people, then yeah, you let this kind of stuff go.
So Black genocide. Really,
yes, thank you. Thank you for filling in, my younger brother. So I am supportive of it. I share stuff with people. I really don't. I will go up to a DJ at a party and say, could you not play that ratchet music? There's so much good music. And you know what? They listen. They put on Earth, Wind, and Fire. They put on a lot of stuff. So I think we all need to start doing that and say, and people need to sit down and don't dance and don't celebrate the music. And, no, I'm not going to do it. Play something I want to hear or we're not going to do this. And that's how I feel about it.
Thank you, sister. I was hoping that Majati would speak, sister.
I don't think that's okay.
I'll just the mic on or something.
Yeah, her mic is not on.
Right,
but that's fine. I'll speak for her on one example. She said she pulled up at a light, and a brother was playing some music, and it was just cussing their tail off, and she was just so appalled, and it saddened her to see our people, riding around in the street listening to that crap. Imagine the psyche that is setting for him and others around this city. That's scary.
Yeah. Okay. Let's go to Sister Kathy. Sister Kathy, can you unmute?
Can you mute me? Because I don't know how to do it on my phone. I never do stuff on my phone. Can you mute me, whoever started this?
You muted right now.
Okay, so Kathy, are you there?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am. Do you have a question or a comment for our host and guest?
You know what? Actually, that's like the music is something that's so integral to us. Like our spirit is in your soul, and you are just like you are what you eat. You are what you listen to. And also, like with the kids walking around with their headphones and stuff like that, that's basically it's getting stuck in their head. All of this B's and H's and, I'm a blast you and stuff like that. This is really getting them pumped up. I'm not saying you're going to go out and do a drive-by, but I mean, basically, you guys are right. And, as far as the music thing is like, as far as being conscious, I am conscious, but I never really looked at it as serious as I did today, because I have a 12-year-old grandson. He won't cuss, he won't listen to cuss music, but the kids his age do. He wants to be a man of God, he don't want to listen to that. But it's like whatever these kids are listening to, that's what they're gearing toward, because not only are they listening, the music has videos to it.
Every chance you get, you keep encouraging that youngster. Don't worry about those. They're going to be the fallen ones if they don't get themselves together. You already together. So don't let no peer pressure get to you. You on the right path. When you get older, when everybody gets older, they're going to see who's making the right decision and how that stuff was affecting them and who wasn't. So you keep doing your thing, Kathy. I love that.
One of the things we share when we talk about this was a song by Common, called Stand Alone. And he says one line, he says, not just my kids want the best for his. So again, when we struggle with this, a lot of people say, I don't let my children listen to this. But it goes beyond that. This brother, what's the brother's name? Brother William, who was protesting with us when we were protesting out of McDonald's, he would share that when he drives, you know, he can handle what's going on inside of his car and what he's doing with his car. But there's several other cars, thousands of other vehicles out there that he's not responsible for. But he still has to be aware and careful out there because he's not sure what they're going to do. And so that kind of goes to the same point when we talk about, you know, how we're watching our children. And so I'm going to give this story real quick. I was in, we were presenting at CMOTEP, which is the Committee to Eliminate Media Offensive to African People. Our brother LeGrand Clegg was running it down in LA, and our brother James McIntosh and Betty Dobson in New York. So we were in New York and we were presenting on this music piece, and we were giving examples of some of the ratchet killer songs that they were playing that were out there. And it was really only one young brother in there with us. And so as we were talking about the songs, he was nodding his head. Yeah, I know that song. I know them lyrics. And so all of a sudden, then here comes this elder came in there, and I was still talking about something else. Then I went back to another example, and I looked to the young brother, and the elder said, oh, no, that's my grandson. He's not into all that. He had his karate gi on, his martial arts uniform on. He's in the martial arts. I'm bringing him to CMOTEP. He's reading every night. And I was like, brother, with all due respect, before you came in here, he knew every song we talked about. Every song we talked about, he knew it. Mm-hmm. So it's this stuff is so pervasive, y'all. I mean, y'all know, it's just so pervasive. It's hitting us everywhere. And it's diabolical what they're doing. We have been bewildered by this madness. And it's hard not to be bewildered by it. And that's why we, you know, and Brother Straw, I agree with you. I think it's very important that we get with little cadres of youth, classrooms here, 5 and 6 there, school systems if we can. But we got to understand that while we're doing this, mass media is pushing this poison all around the country on our children, on our people. Just like with the example we gave of Cardi B and that song she had with Kanye West and Lil Durk that came out July 1st, that they were playing every hour on the hour, not only in Chicago, but in Detroit on July 1st. And iHeart or No Heart, we call them, they have at least 29 slop hop radio stations around the country, 29 of them. And they know exactly what they're doing, why they're doing it. We've already challenged them. The Federal Communications Commission, a lot of times people say in Chicago, because of all this violence, they need to call the feds in. And of course, we're totally against that, calling the federal law enforcement again on our people. But we called the feds in, though. We called in the Federal Communications Commission. Because as we said, we're blaming a lot of this stuff on the lyrics in this music that force feed our people. And so we had a petition out, and it's still out there. It's on change.org, Clear the Airways Project, where we call for the advertisers to stop buying commercials on these stations. We call for the FCC, because they were violating their decency standards, to pull the license and to not grant the license for the iHeart station out here, WGCI. And we sent our information in to the FCC with a formal complaint. The lawyers, the attorneys for Crawford Broadcasting, which is one station in Chicago, and iHeart, they had to respond to our complaint. And then we retorted. And it took them about 9 months, at least 9 months, before the one station got back, and the FCC sided with them. It sided with them and said they trust that their licensees will broadcast content that's in the best interest of their listeners. And that's the same thing they did earlier this year when they finally gave us their decision on the iHeart station, WGCI. They trust that their licensees will broadcast content that's in the best interest of their listeners, like playing songs like I'm a Run Up on That End Squeezing and Throat Babies and I Ain't Got Nowhere to Go, I'm a Shoot Up Everywhere They Was, is in the best interest of African people, African children and youth in the Chicago area and all around the country. That's what the feds did, the FCC did.
Wow.
Okay. So Kathy, did you have anything else?
I want to piggyback on Kesey. Listening to the podcast and being involved, it's like she was saying, like a little bit at a time, you know, like when you put a couple of drops in the bucket, eventually it's going to get full, you know, and it's something really to be thought about and to be put out there too, you know, to kind of, we really can't block so much of the communications, but just make the children aware. Cause like you guys were saying about the old, them old school songs, my kids know, my grandkids know all the old school. Cause that's what I listen to in the car, in the house, you know, that's what it is. So yeah, I agree 100% though. With
and those youngsters, they know, cause they really want their music of their time. They want to brag about it, but when you get them to admit it, they'd be like, man, I know y'all music is better than ours. We know that.
Right.
They just want to have something to gravitate to claim as their own. So we have, we have to include them, let them know, hey, y'all are part of this too, you know?
Yeah, it's, they make, it's their music too, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so let's go to Brother Damien. Brother Damien, good evening.
Good evening. Thanks for having me again. I guess I got a few thoughts.
Of course you do, brother.
One is going back to, I guess, when I first logged in, because we, you know, I work for a nonprofit organization that does mentoring programs on high school campuses. And 5 years ago, we started a campaign, I guess, to, we solicited a music maker to make positive music. So he made a bunch of positive music and then we shared it with our students. And we did what I think Mr. Pratt talked about, you know, have the lyrics and say, hey, let's talk about this. You know, let's hear the song, break down the lyrics and talk about it. They were okay with the conversations, but then it was like, will you listen to the song again? I don't think so. You know what I mean? Like, but if we, every time we brought it to them, they would listen. A lot of times at first they would laugh because it was corny to them. You know, they were like, look here, man, this is some corny music. What you want us to do with it? Well, we just want you to listen and let's have a conversation about what the topic is. The topic wasn't corny, but the music in their mind was corny because it didn't have cursing. It didn't have, you know, killing, have all these things. So it became like, how do we get you guys to develop sort of a palette for the clean, educational, encouraging, inspiring music? And that's been the challenge, you know, because they like, as soon as they see us with the speakers, they're like, oh, here's another one, you know, but we're like, we're just trying to get you to think. And I think like Mr. Pratt even said, you know, at some of our schools, our football teams, we do a program with football teams and they do our affirmation statement, but then they add it on song to the end. So now every week they're singing, think higher, think higher, think higher. We're reaching levels never seen before. We're breaking barriers, knocking down the door. And like they do that, they don't know any other thing, but they know that. And, you know, so on, what I got out of the year was I'm supposed to be thinking higher. I'm supposed to be reaching levels never seen before. I'm supposed to be breaking barriers, knocking down doors. But it's like, how do we get them to, when we're not with them, to go to SoundCloud and listen to the song again? To go to YouTube, watch the video again, to when they're walking on campus, you know, we told them like, share the music with your friends. Oh, we ain't doing that, man. You know what I mean? We'll do that here, but we're not going to share it with our friends. So I think, you know, how do we educate them to, or even change their minds to, hey, this music is good. This music is beneficial. This music is edifying. This music will encourage you, inspire you, versus, because I used to, you know, I said it before, I used to listen to DMX. That what? Was the guy.
What? 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 Yo, where my dog? What?
That is funny. So it's like, but like, that's what I listened to, but it didn't affect me.
That's right, son.
So it's like, how do we get them to desire the clean music? Because even when I was growing up, Will Smith was corny because he had his music in a sense. Like, we ain't listening to that.
It was kind of. Well, you know, I teach and if I hear some conscious songs, I bring it to the classroom. So I'll start off the classroom with a KRS-One intro
to mind. I said, hey, class, every time I stop at this sentence, I want everybody to say mind, sing the word mind. So I go, so first thing we gonna do is make up our mind. Then we gonna go and really clear our mind, erase the doubt and the fear from our mind, share our mind, speak our mind. And we do that 3 or 4 times.
Yeah.
And that was in elementary. I see him in high school. They're like, ah, I remember that mind song that you was doing. Hit that, you know. So that's just one way, but it's just me. We need more. We need more from me.
Yeah, as parents and educators, we have to stand our ground. As an educator, repetition you have to be strong in that repetition. They may not get it the first time, may not get it the second time, may not get it the third time, but they're hearing you. They may tell you, oh no, that ain't what we do. And then when you ain't looking, they're revealing what you just told them. Mm-hmm. So we have to have faith in our children also. They will get it.
Yeah.
Again, as a parent and an educator, this has been proven. It has been proven. And we always talk about repetition and teaching, and then they get it. So we really have to take that stance. We have to be strong in our convictions. And we're setting the example. Mm-hmm. We're teaching, we're educating, and we're also setting the example. So when they become adults and they have children of their own, they will understand. Mm-hmm. And eventually, again, with repetition, you might come across it and you'll be amazed. You'll be like, oh, they were listening. You know, you'll be amazed. I promise you.
Chuck D said, dancing is involved, but not when the problem got to get solved. Go ahead, Brother Roscani.
Okay, so let's go to Sister Make It Happen. How you doing?
Oh, I like that. Sister, make it happen.
Family, Hotep family, greetings all. Greetings, family. This is a very interesting topic. I'm very honored to be on the call with you all as always. So yeah, our music is just a mess, today's music. I'm from the Bronx. I'm from where hip hop started. So I love hip hop. I love hip hop, right? But I come from a musical family, so I have jazz and all kinds of good music. That
South Bronx.
That's right. A conglomerate of my palate. And so raising 4 children and being a daughter of a musician and a daughter of a dancer and considering myself an artist myself, you know, it is challenging to listen to anything on the radio or anything being broadcasted across the mass media. So I tend to play my father's music. My father is a musician. He's spent many, many years putting out albums, Ambiance 2 Fusion, Dawu Balewa. I play all my father's music for my students. It's religious, Yoruba, jazz, fusion music. I play it all nice. For them, right? But then I can see, because a lot of these hip hop artists, they sample. So I can pull out where Tupac sampled my father's music, where different people sampled my father's music.
Didn't Nas sample him too?
Different variants. We're still collecting all of that, right? But mm-hmm. there's many, many people that I can, as my children try to share their music with me, right? I have 2 generations of children. Have children in my that are in their late 20s, and then children that are in their early teens. So I have 2 generations of children to kind of grow with, as I say. And my 2 older are grounded in good, upriching, soul, peaceful music that encourages creativity, you know, and life and health. My younger ones, they are also grounded in good music, but of course, you know, we're being inundated with today, you know, the craziness. So it's about having conversation, like the sister said, engaging the young people, you know, being repetitive, playing the music, whether they like it or not. You know, eventually, just like all music, they will hear the connection and they will say, oh, such and such. My daughter said to me one time, mommy, Tupac sampled Miles Davis. I said, oh, I didn't even know that. Okay, good. Okay, cool.
Nice.
Now, Tupac comes from a great, great lineage, right? But he held off to, you know, he took another path. He he took a different path, right?
That's what,
great legacy, right?
That's why I always said if I met him, I wanted to meet him. I said we're gonna end up fighting because I'm gonna call him on that. He might get mad. I
would have been great ready. Legacy, right? He took a different path, right?
He knew better.
Well, you know, it's, I don't know. I'm not gonna say he knew better. I just say he took a different path, right? It is what it is. But you got to continue to keep pouring into them. You know, old Buddhist philosophy, the cup is filthy and dirty. You pour clean water. You keep pouring the clean water. You keep pouring the clean water. And eventually the dirt does come out, right? It takes a lot of clean water, right? Sometimes it takes hot water to move that dirt. But just keep pouring in the water, the light and the love of the good music. You know, people like, I don't know, you mentioned Common. Common did some work with, you know, Erykah Badu. I love some of her music. You know, Robert Glasper. You know, there's some great ones that kind of combine some hip hop, good, clean hip hop, you know, with jazz, some of the old grounded music that catapulted us to be free in our mind and to continue to grow. And then there's old music that kept us in slavery mentality too. We want to stay away from that dude. We want to be with the music that's going to continue to allow us to grow and allow our generations to grow because there are no limits. We're in a world where there are no ceilings and no limits. So it's going to continue to grow.
You know, jazz ain't the past. This music's going to last. And that's the facts untold. Remember who foretold the 90s.
Grand
the decade Poobah. Of the jazz thing.
Grand Poobah is another one. Introduce your young sister, Grand Poobah. He put it down, right? He's hip hop.
Brand new being. Here I go with the new style, touch a bunch of tile, how, practice sound, whip and dance and sip and chow.
But it is challenging, just, you know, listening, knowing that it changes the mood of our youngsters, you know, it puts an energy on them that puts them in a whole different mindset versus surrounding them with love and light, where we want music to surround them with love and light so they can be creative and be in that muse space where they can just be creative and expand.
And if a parent is going to be the type that says, what my sister said earlier, I let my kids listen to anything, okay, don't be irresponsible, though. If you're going to let them listen to anything, you better have heck of a discussions about it.
Absolutely.
And be confident to know that they can listen to that and engage, know right from wrong, them, and not going to do none of that stuff.
Engage them and hook them where it comes from, because all those things are sampled from something real. John Coltrane, Miles Davis, Joe Sample, some real good people. They're all sampling that to hook our kids, because those are the hooks. So thank you for this discussion. It's powerful. I'm an educator like all of us on the line. I love our folks. I'm going to get a chance this year to work with younger people. I won't no longer be at the high school level working with the, you know, deficient kids. I'm going to be working with middle school kids. So I'll have a chance to pour into some younger folks. But it takes all of us, because when they leave me and they come to the high school and they run into y'all, we got to continue that message so that they're in a community where it's normal to be enriching and surrounded with love versus surrounded with destruction, and you're on a course to destruction, self-destruction. So I thank you for this opportunity and to be among some greats. So
thank you for tuning in.
What's your father's name?
His name is Daoud Balewa, and the music is Ambiance 2 Fusion, and he has maybe 4 or 5 albums out. He was in California in the 70s and the 80s putting it down. Sarita is Sharita's on it with him. He has some greats on it with him.
Stevie's ex, Sarita?
Yes, sir. Okay. You can look it up. Colors and Spaces, I Dream Too Much. You know, all kinds.
Can you put it in the chat room? Can you put it his name so we can look it up? Yeah,
I'll put it in the chat room. Yes, ma'am, I will. Thank you.
And she mentioned our Grand Poobah. I know Damini may still be listening, but we do a conscious hip hop show. We've been doing it for 20-something years. When she stayed with me, Patrick mentioned she was. When Straw mentioned she was.
Don't let it go to your head.
Yeah, she was, but she was quoting Squash All Beef. But that album with Don't Let It Go to Your Head, I had it sitting in there for a couple years, and then she said, hey, come listen to this. And so she hit me to Probable Cause from Brand Nubian, which, by the way, is my favorite hip hop group. And so we started playing that on our show. So again, she was in high school at the time, 10th grader or something. You gotta come listen to this. So yeah, it definitely plays a role, these influences. That's why it's so important that we do. That's why, you know, our movement, Clear the Airways Project, is geared toward putting a stop to it. Because again, the I want to emphasize what they're doing, they don't do to anyone else. One of the things we asked to sponsor McDonald's, we asked them at one point, would you buy commercials on a radio station that played music with lyrics about shooting and killing dogs? And they, of course, answered no. So then we followed up with, why do you buy commercials on these radio stations with lyrics about shooting and killing black people? And they were silent.
What they say?
They didn't say nothing.
That's a good one. That's yours?
That's excellent. Okay, let's see if the other sister, Pratt, want to chime in. You still at work?
Yeah, I'm still at work, and I could get I get calls, but
How you get that man? The image of that man behind you like that? Yeah, how you do that?
In the settings.
Nice.
Yeah.
I think Carbonite needs to put out some kind of way. Those albums that you have, all that conscious hip hop you have, I think you need to get that circulating, because a lot of times I think the youth, they're being all that rap slop is being pushed onto them, and it's like they don't even know where to look for the conscious hip hop. A lot of times I try to think about, you know, putting something else on. Of course, I know from my brothers, but other than that, okay, you can always say a lot, you know, other than that, people don't really know where to look. I don't know. Some kind of way you need to get those CDs circulating again, brother. And I'm thinking, oh man, it seems like such a big project, but I'm not sure.
We got like 35 volumes of conscious hip hop. So we just got to put them out there and maybe put them in other formats too. So you're right.
Yeah, even just like probably screenshots of the list of the songs and the artists, just some kind of way. I don't know. Yeah. Because I don't have them anymore. But you had, I don't know, maybe something like that to push that out there.
Yeah,
I'm just right. Always thinking of solutions. That's all what I can do starting here where I am. So
where are you located?
I'm in Morgan City, Louisiana still.
Morgan City, okay.
Yeah.
Good. So we want to go to, we got about three more people to hit, and then we can come back and maybe I have a question for all the press. So I have a question for all of you. So we're going to start with Brother Doctor and go to Brother Hendrick, then Professor Ra. So Brother Doctor, question, comment?
Yeah, first of all, I want to say, I feel for you, brother. I think somebody said it was in Gary, Indiana, the brother in Chicago, and out to the brothers out in Philly, man. I've been watching all this stuff on the news.
Oh, yeah.
All the kids, man. And Brother Pratt, give me a version of that. Shut them down.
Oh, you must have you. Oh, Brother Pratt. You got to unmute.
Help me out, Paul. I like Nikes, but wait a minute. The competition, so put some money in it. Because if you don't, we're going to have to come through and then to just shut them down. Or shut them down. Shut them down. I messed it up. You're supposed to help me, Brother Quabinai.
Oh, wow. Okay, my bad.
you remember that song?
Oh, of course. We got that whole PE catalog, man.
Hold it now.
Okay, but hey, yeah. I like what you guys are saying, man. I applaud you. You know, one and final complaints and FCC coming in. But let me give you a pretty quick about me, man. And I don't, like, you know, I'm not going to, you know, this is not to offend anybody. It disclosed me, man. I'm a movie buff. I'm more like, you know, that term, the 10th man. You know, when nine people agree on something, you got to have that one guy that disagree. And I'm that guy. That's me. It's never going to change, man. It's always going to be like this because you guys are playing by the rules, man. You know, you got a line you're not going to cross. So it's never going to change. And all these artists, man, you said, I have no clue who these guys are. I just found out who Bootsy was a little while ago. I got to tune in to DJ Vlad to find out who all these guys are, man. I know who Kanye West, I know who he is, the Kardashian guy and the Trump dude. I'm only familiar with one of his songs. You mentioned some other people. I have no clue who they are, man. And you said some term earlier. What was it about something about shooting? You was asking everybody what it meant. I have no clue what it mean. And can you say it again? And what was that term when you first started? It was some term you used that they're rapping about.
No, it's a tagline. It's, you know, yeah. we don't really have people playing too many instruments, so they just make beats off their computer. And so this brother that's a beat maker named Metro Boomin, he did a song. He does a lot of beats. And the rapper No Future, Future said, if Young Metro don't trust you, I'm going to shoot
okay,
you.
Okay, yeah, well now, see, I don't understand. What Young Metro?
Yeah, Metro that's Boomin. His name.
He's a DJ. Oh, that's his name.
Yes, if he don't trust somebody, so the answer is to shoot him. Not to get to know.
Okay. I'm thinking Metro, a city or something. Talking about a city. Okay. All right. Yeah. Oh, that's the guy's name, Young Metro. Yeah. Okay. Okay. But yeah, once again, man, it's not going to change, man, because you guys are going to be playing by the rules. You know, you already went to the FCC and they sided with them. And like you said, you don't see them coming out rapping about killing another certain group because that would be shut down. That'd be off the airway. They wouldn't put that on. So they're going to let them keep putting it on. And you guys already said the issue, the money. As long as the money out there, man, it's never going to change. You can teach your kids. You can save a few kids. You're not going to save them all, just like what's going on in you guys' city. You know, we come up with all the gun policies. It's not going to change. It's not going to change, man. But that doesn't mean don't stop fighting. And, I like what you guys are doing. But, man, being that 10th man, all you guys are wrong. Nothing's going to never change. Not in this time, not tomorrow, not next month, and not next year. It's not going to change. More young blacks are going to die. Cops are going to kill somebody else next week, unarmed. It's not going to change, man. They don't care. You care, but nobody else is care, man. You guys fighting up the battle uphill, man. It's not going to change. It's as simple as that.
Well, you may be right in one aspect. It may not change as far as, you know, the music being played and killings going on, but what can change is the numbers. What can change is consciousness of more people. So then when they go out and spread the word, they can see the results of what you're talking about. Hey, yeah, I tell my brother, let those go by the wayside. Let's focus on the ones who really care and want to do something different. We can have 10% of them, as opposed to the other 90, like you said, is going to continue to listen to it and go through whatever the music tells them to do. But that 10%, you know, that 10% can grow to 11 and 12 and 13 and 14 and 15. And we just focus on that community. And then, hey, that's what we need to focus on.
And one Brother question. Pratt.
Yes.
Brother Doctor.
Yeah.
Each one teach one.
Right.
No, we don't, just one question.
We're not going to die. We're going to multiply. Right. Each one teach one.
That's
now,
right.
Now, my last question. Give me your goal. What do you see in your utopia? What would you like to see at the end? You don't want this music being played, these lyrics. What's the whole end game? What would you like to see? What's the goal? Give me your top five goals.
Our top five goals? I don't know if I can give you five of them straight up, but our main goal with the Clear the Airways Project is to get off the radio, mass media radio stations, music that demeans and degrades our women and calls for the shooting and killing of black people. That's our goal. That's our objective with the Clear the Airways Project. Now, what can it be when people talk about what you're going to do? What's the alternative? We say the alternative is already there. Again, we still have artists out there who are not doing this crap. And so when we get that off, that'll be a void, and that void we can come in here with this music. That's not all, like the brother said earlier, corny. No, a lot of this music is revolutionary. Some of it's fun. Some of it's educational. So I mean, so it's the whole it covers the whole mirror, you know. So it ain't all just because it's conscious, it's corny. No, it's a lot of music is harder than it's harder to love in a lot of cases. No, it's really easy to love, but it's hard, really harder to do all this killing that they be rapping about doing. So
yeah, laughing, taffing, that's corny. That laughing, taffing, let your chain hang low. That's corny.
All right. Let's get to Brother Hembrick and Professor Rob. Brother Hembrick.
Good evening.
Good evening, Brother Hembrick.
You're in a realm that, you know, I don't really partake in. I know what it's doing. I didn't allow mine to deal with that. Instead of listening to music, mine was learning how to play instruments of music.
And nice.
TV. There was no TV in my house Monday through Thursday because you're booking or you're doing something creative. Side with the doctor about the effects. You know, I appreciate what the brother's doing, but it's like smelling the fart in a windstorm. You know, these folks are using serious propaganda on our people. We at war. And you at war, you gotta use, you know, war weapons. And it's like the doctor say, you know, we playing honest and we being nuked. You know what I'm saying? But as far as music goes, I'm pretty much a jazz person. There's a few revolutionary type songs I like listening to. You know, some stuff like Mayfield and others like that. But I know the kids are listening to it. I tried to teach on it when I was working, telling them all them fools, talking about shooting this and that. They ain't never did it in their lives, most of them. They just rapping about it. But if we would put out something about shooting some white folks, let's see how long that stay on the air. It'd be off tomorrow, you know what I'm saying? So we kind of drinking the Kool-Aid. The kids don't know it. But that essentially is what's going on. So that's all I got to say on the subject.
I want to respond to that. You know, a couple of things. Like there's really something you just said. I thought about this morning. There's a rapper named DaBaby. He had a song out called Rockstar a year ago, and it made all kind of crazy stuff the last 4 or 5 years. He's been very hot. We even talk about I'ma burn me an inn in the store where your mammy and grandmama shop at. I'm gonna put 20K on your head and have your partners come kill you. Or run up on the end squeezing. The song Rockstar was number one song in like 5 different countries before it became a hit here. And it's a song straight up about shooting and killing ends. My daughter, G, she saw me kill an end by the age of 2. Nominated for Grammys, BET Awards, all kind of stuff. Now this dude at one of the minstrel show fest that they have last year, he mentioned something that homosexuals do or were doing in a car. And so ever since then, slowly but surely, you stop hearing him. Now, rarely do you ever hear him on the radio anymore. And he just mentioned something that homosexuals do. This is why he was on stage talking about shooting and killing all kind of ends and shooting other rappers in the foot, sisters that are rapping. But when he mentioned that about the homosexuals, they dealt with it. So I just wanted, that made me think about that. And also, you know, I just want to make sure y'all aware, you know, we're doing all sorts of things. It's not just the FCC. It's dealing with local politicians, it's resolutions, it's demonstrations, it's protests, direct action. It's not just but to be honest, we're pretty much, like you said, playing by some of these rules. But you know, we like Malcolm with this, though. We need to be like Malcolm with this. It needs to be by any means necessary, because right now they are on top of our children. They're doing this to our children. We got to understand this, our children. Our children are children. They cannot protect themselves in most cases. This is our responsibility as adults to protect them. They look for us to protect them. This is what they're pushing on our children.
Yep.
Yes, sir. Okay, let's go to Professor Ra.
That's kind of before I leave. Take the radio and the computer and give them a book to read instead. If we're going to protect our kids, then let's protect them. Let's throw out the stuff out the house that's causing it and give them a book. I know it's hard saying that, but that's what you got to do. You're at war. So you know what you're going to do. You're going to still leave them
It's not hard saying that. That's what we should do. But again, that's micro, and we need to do that. But again, on a mass level, we got to stop these beasts who are doing this on a mass level.
Hey, all right, peace.
Okay, Professor Rock.
All right, Professor Rock.
Appreciate what's been said, but correctly. First, I want to say how much it is an honor and a pleasure to listen to Kwabena and at the same time to be on this program with the Pratt family. A person, Elmore Geronimo Jijaga Pratt, who's a very good, one of the heroes of our movement. He paid the price. He had 27 years for something he didn't do. Regardless of how many appeals he made, they turned them down. But he kept struggling. He didn't let the turning down stop him from struggling. And eventually, he got his freedom. And he just as an example of the need, that's me and Jijaga at the Unity Festival in Compton. We were one of the first people that paid him to come speak when he came home. And we paid him at Long Beach State and helped him to go to the Congressional Black Caucus in Washington, D.C. to be on a panel with Johnny Cochran and all of them. So me and him go back, and we had many conversations. I spoke up at St. Louis Obispo Men County when he was there, and I gave a lecture called Black Gods and the Devil Warehouse, which I dedicated to him. I just wanted to just say this, that he's a glorious spirit in heaven and a powerful presence here on earth because of his commitment and taking his training from the military and train other men to be men and to be righteous men. Good man. So I deeply appreciate being on this show with his lineage because I understand your love for justice and your love for righteousness as a family unit. And I deeply appreciate that. If there was no possibility of change, we'd still be in chains because our people fought to get us out of the chains. We struggled through manumission, we struggled through sharecropping, we struggled through all the atrocities, genocide, homicide, suicide, all kind of side. But we are a resilient people. And in order to get your children to do things that you want them to do, you got to train them and discipline them and educate them. You got to train them. They can listen to whatever they want. If they train, the majority of our kids go to school and they ain't out shooting people. The majority of our kids go to school. The majority of our kids listen to the music of their generation like we listen to the music of our generation, like our parents listen to the music of their generation. And it didn't affect them from being good mothers and good fathers that raised them. Made sure we had food on the table, made sure we taught right and tried to get us to go to church, tried to get us to go to school. Many of us did what our parents told us to do. Now, you have some people that are influenced by anything. You understand? Young people, maybe they're not supervised, maybe they have a mental problem, but the majority, many of the killings are done by young adults. And I don't think the kids would be enjoying the music as much if you didn't have so many adults, young adults, enjoying it. At the Super Bowl, you had Snoop doing the Crip Walk and the sister half naked. You understand? You know she was overweight, but she was half naked singing. And then you want to know about sexual perversion. You know, Janet Jackson started it. Now the white girl started it. Now black singers. It's not about their voice. It's about nasty girl. I'm a nasty girl. And men coming out singing with no shirts on and tattoos all on and earrings on. But the majority of brothers go to work and do the best they can. You understand? You have to be optimistic. And I agree with Kamenai. Yeah, we shouldn't let our kids listen to anything that we think is a negative influence. But it's everywhere. You can get it off the airwaves, but you got to include streaming too. You got to include the movies too. See, it's hard to stop drive-bys if the country do flybys. America kills more people every day with bombs and guns. They make the guns our kids have. And they, I mean, it's a deep situation. Now, Commandant, you got something and your organization is right. Chicago was where Black people left the South to go to. You got Minister Faircon in Chicago. You have Hakeem Mahadibuti, the Institute of Positive Education. You have Jawanda Kanjufu, Black Boys Endangered Species. You have Operation Push, which we call Operation Shove, and you have the Rainbow Coalition, all in Chicago. You had one of the first Black mayors. Chicago is a haven. We had the Black Political Convention there. We got a lot of good people, you know, that are strong leaders. We was killing each other way before rap. I just hate to be like, I was out there. I gotta admit it. I was out there on the street. And Kamenai, I'm not pretty sure you were out there on the street. Am I saying kids are not influenced by music? No. Am I saying that it don't turn some people on when they get ready to go kill somebody and get hyped up? No, I'm not saying that. But I am saying we still have Black people. You had Marva Collins School from Chicago. You got people trying to do things that work with the youth. And I commend all you parents out there that's on the air today for your hard work and making sure your kids ain't one of the ones doing the shooting. And that's our responsibility. Music is not our culture. Music ritualizes our culture. That's if they ain't got a message in it, like the sister said, it should be instrumental. That's what Gil Scott said. The ritualization, song, dance, that's not your culture. Your culture comes from a philosophy, an ideology, a value system, an ethics system. Now, is there absence of culture in among the Black community? Yeah. That's why gang culture can come in. That's why broke culture can come in.
Mute, Casey, mute.
When you don't have a culture against that, then other cultures can take you over. See, so the only thing I'm saying is that let's keep the movement. Keep what Kamenai's doing and what Brother Straw doing and trying to bring humor and a sense of uplifting in these hard times that Black people are going through. Keep them going, support them where we can, if we can. But our primary education unit and training unit is not the streets, not the schools, but the home. And even if you're a single parent, male or female, you just got to do double duty. That's all that is. I mean, you got some mamas that can throw a shoe 100 yards and hit their kid in the head to get your butt out, boy. You understand? So don't tell me a woman can't raise. Every man had a woman in their life. So, and many of them was by the woman by themselves. The issue is, yeah, music is bad and terrible. I'm like, Brother Doctor, if it ain't serious, I turn it off anyway. I don't even watch Oprah. I don't watch none of the Negroes on TV. I don't let them in my computer. They're viruses. And that, you know, and so my point is that, you know, I have 6 children. You know, they couldn't have no friends unless I approved them. And my daughters knew better than to bring anybody home with an earring in his ear. No, hell no, not in this house. Now, once you get 18, if you want to go get somebody with an earring, you go. But I'm going to train you. I want to. And my kids, no, you can't go outside. Hell no. I don't believe in that. Unless there's supervision. You either go into somebody's house I know, or you go, or I'm going to be outside watching you. Why? Because we had war. Malcolm been telling you that. And that's what Kamenov trying to tell people. We had war with the airwaves. So, hey, you as a parent got to know what your kids are doing. I taught parenting, psychology, ethnic studies, Black child in the ghetto, a Black juvenile, and I lived it. Y'all had the Blackstone Rangers. You had the Disciples. You had brothers that came up in the streets way before they were rap, and you know they were getting down. Where'd they get it from? White people. Chicago was the heartland of gangsters. Al Capone and all of them. They train us to kill. Alvin Pusey, Why Blacks Kill Blacks. Get the book. And the only thing, as I said, as I conclude, this has been a fantastic show. And Brother Kamenov, keep doing what you're doing. And you and Straw, keep doing what y'all are doing. And you sisters and everybody on the show, if you're doing righteous things, keep doing them. Because you're on the right track. You had the Black United Front out of Chicago. You understand? I mean, a lot of good things come out of Chicago. You understand? A lot of great things and came out of the Windy City. Ask Lou Rawls. And you understand? Your parents, you know, the Windy City. It's a beautiful.
You'll never find.
I went there. I went to Gary, Indiana. I'm going to tell you this coming on. I love it. I went to Hatchet's Club. They ain't even dead. They just sat around, drank, and talked. In Gary, Indiana, 1972.
Were you there for the convention?
Of course.
Man, we just did the 50th anniversary commemoration. Man, it's gonna, I'm gonna put it up. My brother James, you may know James too. He just edited it for us. We're gonna get it up soon.
All of them, man. We set the Black agenda. It was people from all over the country, man. It was at a gym, I think, if I remember correctly, in Chicago.
It was in Gary, Westside High School.
It was a high school, though.
Yeah, and that's where we were in March. We just left.
Yeah. I remember. And I had relatives in Chicago. So, I mean, I can't blame Chicago for all the issues. Yeah, they have a lot of killings going on right now, but a lot of it's over drugs. And a lot of it's over turf, a lot of it's over initiation, and a lot of people are abusing our youth. These are young dudes making young cats kill people. And a lot of times people shooting at somebody else and hit somebody else. But you know that. So, yeah, I think we should start from birth, before the child is born, as Amos Wilson said. You got to start raising that child while he's in the womb by having a beautiful environment and an expectation. But it's hard because Chicago's projects are straight up and straight down. People live, used to be tied on top of each other and stuff like that.
They're gone now, bro. They got rid of it. They done knocked all that down.
That's why I said it used to be. Yeah. So it's a different thing.
What, Cabrini?
Yeah, Cabrini Projects. Everybody hears about that. They got a reputation long as wide earth. You understand?
Good times. Good times intro.
Yeah. But it's still a beautiful experience for y'all to be still fighting. You know, I talk to brothers from Chicago all the time. We have a study group, a Conway Philosophy, a brother named Kamal. Can't remember Kamal's name. But anyway, last name. But anyway, the issue is, man, keep doing what you're doing. This has been a beautiful, beautiful presentation. And I agree with everything you say. I never let my kids listen that if I, you know, You can't do nothing when you ain't around them. But around me, they have to have respect. They know better than play anything or listen to anything like that. But the point is that, you know, you got to be a serious parent. Parent is 24 hours, 7 days a week. And you can't out twerk your daughter. And you can't, you know, I mean, you can't do the wild thing in front of your children, brother, and speak culture, speak truth to people and to the power. And I just want to say, Sante Rashiki, for having this beautiful family and relatives and friends that have and their comments, you got my support, brother.
Hey, we feel the same way. It's an honor and privilege always to be on with Brother Amon Ra, because every time I go through L.A. and your name comes up, a whole lot of you have influenced a whole lot of more people than you know, Brother Amon Ra. So we appreciate being on with you at the same time, my brother. A child is born with no state of mind.
Okay, so now... I know we've been on for a while, but I gotta keep this going because I gotta hear some Brother Jajaga Pratt stories. Now, Straw, you didn't told us a couple of things already, so we're gonna skip you. We're gonna go straight to the sisters, and then we're going to Quavina. So let's start off with number one, the DEP Dirt. Do you have any Jajaga stories for us?
I really don't have many stories. I didn't get to spend that much time with my uncle.
Well, tell us one thing you learned from him. We just want one story or one thing you learned from him.
One thing I learned from my uncle, never pitch. He put that in me when I was younger. I did have to, you know, live up to some responsibilities, you know, something I went through younger, and I learned that from my uncle. Don't be no snitch, never, not never. So that stuck with me, and I teach my children the same thing. I don't know. It's hard about my uncle because I should be in Africa right now. He wanted me to go to Africa and live with him and visit. And I didn't go, so I kind of have some regrets, but it was all good. He loved me so much. He spoiled me the little bit of time I did get to spend with him. And it was just such a privilege to get to meet my uncle. So I'm just glad I actually got to meet him, really.
Beautiful, beautiful. We gotta have a show on that about snitching, because when I walk around my school, I tell the kids I'm the biggest snitch. So I tell them, I'm going to tell. So, I mean, you know, that's, we need to have a show on that, but we'll get to that later. Okay, Sister Kelsey. Casey. Okay, yeah.
Memories of G. I should say I suffered from CRS. I don't know if a lot of you know what CRS is, but then I changed that. To selective memory. I have selective memory. But you have to look up CRS on your own. I did come across some pictures when we were little and visiting him, and very interesting. Like Uncle G would say, Kisi, you know, we were working on gymnastics when we were younger. It's Carrie and I visited him. He was like, do a cartwheel, do a cartwheel. Everything Uncle G said, do a handstand, I would do. Love my uncle. Sorry, I have to switch my earpiece. Went dead. Did it come back up? Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. One, the other earpiece went dead. I was on the Zoom a long time. Yeah. But just his strength. I just remember his strength, his determination, his persistence, his fight for our rights and our justice. And I know we have to do things we do things honestly, but we also can do things undercover. We don't have to always announce everything we do. These are just things I remember from him. And I'm going to keep that going. I'm going to keep that going and not let anyone deter me from those things, from those characteristics. I'm going to teach my kids the same and still encourage my children and anyone that comes around me the same. That's all I can remember.
Okay. Thanks a lot. Appreciate that. Carrie? You got to unmute.
You may have to unmute her, remember?
Ask to unmute. I could do that.
She spoke since he did that, though.
Oh, there she
is.
No,
thank you. I'm sorry. I don't do Zoom on the phone, so I don't know how to use it. So it'd be nice.
Well, you're on now.
I'm on now, but it's complicated. I'm sorry I had to leave a minute ago. I'm watching a windstorm in my backyard, and stuff is flying all over. There's a dead bird in the pool, so I had to leave for a minute. But sorry. Yeah, it's pretty bad out there. I had to bring my dog in.
Now, where are you? You're in Vegas?
I'm in Vegas, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it's pretty bad. Oh, my gosh. I shouldn't be watching it right now. But so you wanted to hear, I was very close with my Uncle Geronimo. I used to visit him quite a bit. I have two sons, Jossian and Kosi. Those are both African names. And I would take them, and G would get so much joy out of seeing the children, you know. He loved it. I have several pictures. My Uncle G used to write me. I don't want to toot my own horn, but I remember I went into Johnny Cochran's office. It was by accident. I said, hey, this is Carrie Pratt. I'm Geronimo's niece. You know, I have some information I need to share with Johnny. And they had a substitute secretary that answered the phone and let me in. I wasn't supposed to go in. So I drove all the way up there and I went in and I said, look, Johnny, I need you to help my uncle. You know, he says he wants to talk to you, give him a call, blah, 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 blah. And he's like, I know Geronimo. Yeah, I need to go see him. You know, he's writing all his stuff down. And of course that's big time Johnny Cochran. And I respected him, but I'm not impressed that easily because I want to see someone with action, get, you know, helping my uncle to get out. And thank God, oh my gosh, that he did end up helping G. And he even said on television,
she went back to mute.
Accomplishment. And so I know a lot of other people had a lot to do with it too, but I'm very grateful for that. I was just very close with G. My brother Kwabena bought G an outfit from Africa. He had gone to Africa and come back. He wasn't able to be there when Uncle G was released, but he sent the outfit to me. It was in Orange County. I was in Long Beach at the time. So I was able to run back after G got out and everything. Oh, and my sister Kesey, Kesey bought him suits and ties and shirts so that he had something to wear when he first got out. Kesey, you remember that? Remember? Well, you did it. I don't know if you said it. I can't hear you. But anyway, my sister did that. So he came out looking nice. And then Kwabena, I took that thing all the way up to the office and G was there. No one else. I wasn't even supposed to be there. He was getting ready to have this interview with Christine Devine. And he's like, Carrie, come here. You know, with that raspy voice. He had money. He said, look, I got money. Because he had, you know, they can't touch money when they're in prison. So I have a lot. And I don't want to take all the time. I have letters from my Uncle G with him writing me. I was very, very close to him. I visited him in so many of the prisons he was in. And he was going back to Paul with Paul sent Kwabena. That outfit he sent, it was that outfit that he has on that you guys see in some of the pictures, that's what Kwabena brought back from Africa. And he couldn't be there for the actual release date, but, you know, he made a big difference to make sure that Uncle G was dressed, you know, appropriately in his African garb. And
it was, I was so overwhelmed. I couldn't go to the after party at the, who was it? The basketball player. Debbie Allen and her, they had a club and they all went there. I couldn't go there. I was.
What, Creek Alley, Norm Nixon?
No.
Denzel Washington? Him and Debbie, he and Denzel Washington owned a restaurant called Creek Alley at the time on Melrose. And I think that's what you're talking about.
Oh, yeah, I guess so. I didn't know the name of it. I didn't go because I was so overwhelmed with emotion. I just couldn't. But the church thing that we went to and all the people, I had a lot of my UCLA friends there. They were just so excited. They did a big ceremony in some black church in the neighborhood. I am not that familiar with it.
Yeah, the NBC News was there, and the sister covered it, and then Geronimo put your son and Kosi on his lap. He's on the news. And look at Kosi on the news.
Yeah, he was, I think G was overwhelmed, because I was back there when he walked in, and he saw the people. He was just like, wow, you know? And so I think he grabbed Kosi from me, because he already knew him, you know, to
help calm him down. A little comfort.
Yeah, a little comfort, and just kind of, yeah. So anyway. I have a bunch of memories, and I don't, you know, this is kind of good towards the end, but oh yeah, I really, really love my Uncle G. We were very close.
Okay. So Majadi is not ever able to come on, huh? Just listening.
She probably got some stories too from back in the day.
I know, but she may not know how to manipulate the thing. Okay, I'm out.
Okay, thanks a lot. Okay, Kwabena.
I'll be real quick. I mean, so many, because again, definitely appreciate the legacy, and we got to uphold that legacy of our freedom fighters. Uncle G, you know, he did his thing. But I was at went to a NSBE convention in 91 from Louisiana down to LA. Me and three of my comrades, we rolled down there to the convention, Black Engineers Convention. And I'm like, I'm going to visit my uncle. So I left the convention, went up to, where was he at? I think he was in Tehachapi. And so he was telling me, we were rapping, he was telling me about his little godson, who was a rapper. And I'm like, yeah, you know, yeah, all right, yeah, Uncle G, because so many people, not just like today, back then, want to be rappers. So, yeah, it's my godson and all that. So I go back, you know, we're a good visit, but I go on back, and a little while later, I'm hearing Trapped and these other songs. That's who Uncle G was talking about. It was Tupac he was talking about. So it was before Tupac came out, so that was a cool story. And we'd always talk, when I go visit him, about visualizing being out, and in Louisiana fishing, and maybe in the mama land. And so it was just really good that he was able to do that, both of those things, and still contribute to the community, and contribute on behalf of his fellow political prisoners, many who have gone now, and many who are starting to, you know, who are getting out and getting out lately. You still got to free the rest of them, you know, but H-Rap Brown, Mumia, and Mutulu, and all of them. But that, and then going to Africa with them, had a chance to go to Africa with him a couple times to work with the Kuji Foundation. One of the times, I think the last time I went over there with him, I thought we were going to be over there together. I got over to Ghana. He jetted. He didn't tell me he was going to Tanzania. So he went over to Tanzania and did some work with Pete and Charlotte. Pete O'Neill, who, by the way, is his birthday today, Panther out of, leader out of Kansas City, turned 82 years young today in Tanzania. But, you know, the good work he did over there, and it's documented in the documentary called Panther in Africa. So if you can check that out. But yeah, just again, a lot of stories with Uncle G too, but think about him all the time. Appreciate that legacy. I remember him being around when I was little, you know, mainly his comrades, like the Freeman brothers and all that. They speak at the house all the time with my daddy, Brother Harold Taylor, and all of them, with my daddy, who's behind that picture with Damini. So, and then also when my daddy going to trial, and Majadi, who's on there, you know, they were going to the trial and what have you, and in support of Uncle G in the early days when he was locked up. But yeah, so many other stories too. I think, I think one of your comrades from back in the day said he's gonna write a book on him. Hopefully he's still doing it. We Will Shoot Back. He wrote that.
Yeah, he's doing that. He did. We had him on the show. Brother AK. I can yell out of Compton.
He finished the book on Uncle G already?
Yeah, the book out, yeah. Joe Hendrick, we're gonna have him on again.
Okay, right on. Yeah, good.
I'll send that to you. I'll send you the show we did with him.
Okay, right on.
Yeah,
but that legacy, man, and all our, like I said, we got a political prison. And who there's so many Panthers out there and freedom fighters out there right now as part of that era, as you know, Professor Amara, who are telling us these stories, man, and they love to talk about what's going on or what happened. So we need to get so many of these stories from our brothers and sisters who put in that work for us so diligently.
Yeah.
Yes, sir. Now is Kyla's mother on here?
You spoke to her.
Which one is Kyla's mom?
Kesey.
Okay, Kesey. Can you tell Kyla that she was one of my favorite child stars and that I want to get her on here and the rest of the Pratt family? Can you guys help me get Kyla? Because my daughter's name is Kyla, and we came to the birthday party at Pratt's house, Straw's house, and we was there, and she was there with my little daughter, Kyla, too. So I got a daughter named Kyla, which they old now. So if you could get her to come on here, it'd be beautiful. If you can, you know, I'm just putting it out there.
Okay, nothing wrong with that. Closed mouth don't get fed. That's what I heard.
I just asked, so.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. And Paul, I wanted to get that that site you said that we can what's it called? Where we could look up Clear the Airwaves and either contribute or, you know, join whatever that was. I don't know what that site was. I was trying to write it down.
Clear the Airwaves Project.org. Also, we have a big presence on Facebook, Clear the Airwaves Project. And it's airwaves as in ocean waves with a WAVES. Clear the Airwaves Project. Also, we got this campaign. I don't know if y'all can see this. It's a Turn It Off campaign.
Let me make it where it's bigger. Go ahead.
Hashtag Turn It Off campaign. It's really a sad campaign, but it says turn off any source of music with lyrics that demean and degrade our women, any source of music with lyrics that call for the shooting and killing of Black people. We do, if you can look at it on YouTube or just search sad state of Black music, and you see these surveys we're doing, and we did some of them today. We're in Lansing, Michigan, and not too far from where Malcolm grew up, near Lansing, and we were asking the brothers the survey questions. Give us the percentage of music that you and your peers listen to that drop in bombs on us, that call our sisters, our mamas, our daughters, our girlfriends, our wives, our grandmamas, B's and H's, and call and brag on and encourage the shooting and killing of Black people. And those numbers were, as usual today, in the 70, 80, 90% range for all three categories. And this is, we get these numbers from New York to San Diego, from Portland to Tampa, and everywhere in between when we ask the people this survey about this music. This music is unbelievable. I mean, again, I would ask you all to just check out the song Who Wants Smoke from Nardo Wick. Check out that song Who Wants Smoke and you'll see what I'm talking about. Check out the lyrics to the song Plan B. You know, we got this, you know, however you feel about this abortion piece, but Megan Pete, they call her a male horse, but Megan Thee Stallion's answer to it is Plan B. Look at the lyrics to Plan B from Megan Pete, Megan Thee Stallion, they call it. This is what they play on the radio 24/7, 365 for our children. And it's, you know, I know we're talking about we don't listen to our children, but our children do. And it's crazy. It's absolutely crazy. And and they're not going to stop it until we make them stop it. They're not going to stop it.
Yeah, I appreciate that, Brother Pratt. Last words, guest host.
What you want me to last words on the whole show?
Yeah, and then I'm going to come back in.
Okay. This has been a great topic, great show. As Brother Amon Ross said, it was cool to have my siblings on here with me. I didn't realize that they was going to be on here. I mean, I did send the link at the last minute. I didn't even tell them that we were doing this. But so for them to just hop on and take a little bit of their time to participate, I appreciate that. And that makes me feel good. And I thank you for giving us this platform, too. You know, we're privileged and honored to share our world by Geronimo and our perspective on consciousness with music and family upbringing and the whole Black community. So we will continue. Aluta continua. Uhuru. The struggle continues.
Uhuru, Jack.
Odabo, Jack.
Rastafari. Yes, yes, yes. So, hey, listen. This is wonderful, everybody. I mean, it doesn't get any better than this. This is better than TV. That's my opinion. All right. And just to have Brother Kwabena and the family with him, Brother Straw, it's just wonderful. And, you know, and each and every one of you can be a guest on the show. And you just have to contact me or I can contact you. And it's wonderful. And I just appreciate it. So now let me tell you about next week, everybody. Next week, we got a Brother Mills coming on. And his topic is activation or elimination. And then we can see, Professor Ra, can you tell us about Monday?
We're going to talk about Black August. You know, Black August, a lot of African-Americans may not know the importance of the month of August. There's a lot of revolution and a lot of cultural things. The Watts Rebellion and rebellions throughout America in the 60s happened in August. A lot of our great activists and leaders were born in August. And a lot of our great movements was in August. And we're just going to raise that history. History is the foundation of all understanding. And Malcolm said that, you know, it's the one science that rewards all research. And we got to lay a foundation of resurrecting, as Straw said, our heroes and heroines that contributed to our forward flow of liberation. Even Barack Obama out of Chicago, him and Michelle, he was born in August. And Reverend Wright, the church out of Chicago, a lot of historical events took place. So I hope that y'all can come back in. And as Rasha Key said, you know, the grains of sand on the ocean floor are few compared to the many thanks that we give to each and every one of you for your participation. And we hope that you'll tune in. And if you know other people that you think we should put on YouTube and get a message out. And we definitely got to have Kwabena back. How do you pronounce it? Kwabena back, because besides dealing with the music, I know he's deep in the movement. I can just feel it. I can feel the spirit. And I know he got other issues because he's in the heart of the struggle when you talk about Chicago. And there's so many contradictions. You know, you got that woman mayor and you got all kind of issues that you're dealing with.
And I know you close it out, man, but we in Chicago area, but we actually in Gary. And this place here is like, we just got Malcolm X Drive after a 22-year struggle in a city that's 85 to 90% Black. So,
we've been doing that in L.A. Crenshaw and Obama, they're not going to change the street. They're just going to add Malcolm to the street. So, we realize, you know, people, you know, they don't want to raise up people that stood up. They always want people that they can, that they think they control the narrative of. Mm-hmm. You know, so, but Malcolm is in the hearts and minds of all of us forever and his contribution. But I know you know a lot about the movement, you know, and we want to have you on again, brother, talk about other issues. You know, you can come on my show anytime, just let me know. And give us an update on the progress of your movement on airways, because see, people are, like I said, you know, you got movies that ain't nothing but killing. They win Academy Awards for killing and gooey. They got, you know, I mean, that's American culture. We learn killing from America, you know, and so we just got to deal with that. So I'm looking forward to more conversations with you. That's my point. And we always have Straw on, even if it's just for entertainment.
Listen here.
I want to hear him sing family. This turned into a family affair. I want to hear him do some slide.
It's a family affair. It's a family affair. One child grows up to be somebody who just loves to learn. Another child grows up to be somebody you just love to burn. Burning cats lie is crazy.
So we got a now. Who's this? Ham, we about to go off, Ham. Whose folks is this? How you doing, brother? Oh, his audio is coming in. Is that some of your? That's your partner.
Yeah, Harrison. If that's Harrison Ham, yeah, that's one of my homies. In sports. Yeah.
Okay, you wanna get him to say something, and then we gotta go.
If his mic is on, you wanna
he's chime in? There now. There he is.
What's up, Harrison Ham?
Hello, brother Ham.
What's going on, brother?
How you doing? We closing out.
It's all good, man. I want to come in and support you guys tonight.
Brother Strong, go ahead.
Appreciate it. Oh, you must have saw the link I put up on Facebook, huh?
Trying to pick my volume up a little bit so I can hear you a little better.
I said you must have saw the link I put up on Facebook, huh?
Hold on, let me put my earbuds in. I can't hear you.
Yeah, we'll see if Brother Ham have a short contribution, then we're going to sign off. And if you guys can stay on for a second when we end, I want to ask you guys a question, quick question. The Pratt family.
Harrison Ham. It's Harrison Ham. So you must have saw the link I put on Facebook.
Can't hear you, my brother.
Testing. Can you hear me now? Hello, hear me?
So we're going to have to catch Brother Ham on the rebound, you guys. We catch him on the rebound. So I'm going to say Conscious Corner and each one teach one. Everybody have a good evening.
All right, brothers. Y'all take care wherever you are. Stay out of that windstorm in Vegas.